and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and in what turned out to be an eventful week in both happy and sad ways, Mick McQuillan and myself attended the funeral of one of Wolves' most well-known fans, Bob Mullen, on Wednesday in Stourbridge. Bob was a good friend of Mick McQuillan, and I'd met Bob several times over the years, from Selhurst Park to Turin, and he also loved his pre-season trips to Ireland. And on Monday, I attended Irish Wolves Secretary Andy Taylor's mam's funeral in Alvely. There were the sad elements to the week, and the condolences again to the families. Our main focus in this week's podcast is the West Ham game last Saturday, and I invited Des Drum, Johnny Pearl and Tony Cullen to have a chat on Tuesday night about the game and the upcoming couple of games. So I hope you enjoy it. Des.
Evening, Tony.
Des, how are you? Good to see you.
Hi.
You're the first here anyway, so I expect a couple more at least anyway. Well, Sam, was that your first trip over the season?
My first trip since, must have been last year, I think.
Early, yeah.
It's a long time, yeah. I was going to show you before the others join. You want to see the trophy room here. This is my study, and these are all the Wolves posters and shirts, signed shirts. And
yeah, Doritos, that's back in the 90s.
It's a Wolves signed football. That's a Jack Charlton signed one.
Oh, God.
It's full of Wolves memorabilia here.
The old Chaucer from the 90s. Shirt. Or the 2000s, wasn't it? Yeah, late 2000s. Excellent.
Yeah, when I retired.
Yeah, I think we all have our little place to keep all our memorabilia, thank God. So I think we have...
This is my study. This says my internet connection is unstable.
Yeah, it seems to be coming and going okay, yeah.
I'm surprised at that because its signal looks fine.
The picture was a bit blurry a second ago, but it seems to be clear enough now. We just have another young lad just joined us there, Johnny. How are you?
Not too bad, you?
Yeah, good. You had a safe trip over, yeah?
Yeah, very enjoyable trip, I must say.
Did you fly over Friday night, or did you...
No, Saturday morning. Did you fly over Friday night?
No, it's Saturday morning. Des, did you go Friday night or Saturday morning?
Saturday morning, on the same flight as Peter and Gary Cotter and a guy called Paul from North.
Yeah.
But I stayed over Saturday night to spend it with my friend there that I go to the matches with. A few pints and...
With Nick, yeah.
Celebrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Nick.
Something to celebrate. As I say, we won't go into the detail until we have one or two more lads here. Just as a couple of stories, as there always are when we go over to games. We got Paul Lindsay got WV1 tickets for us, for four of us, so we were posh for the day. So that was pretty enjoyable. But I was in McGee's with Mick and Tony Cullen beforehand. We were all doing well. We were having our second pint sitting there, and lo and behold, the guy at the table beside next to us, who was a good 3 feet away at the table, got up to go to the bar and kicked the table. One of the pints just spilled over Tony Cullen, happened to be in the wrong place. So that was a good start to the morning. So,
oh, Lord, yeah, we usually go for lunch first before the match is to Rosso e Nero, which is on the corner of the main street and Waterloo Road.
Yeah,
it's an Italian restaurant.
Yeah,
pretty okay.
Yeah, as you probably saw my messages that Andy Taylor's mum passed away a couple of weeks ago, and I went over to the funeral yesterday.
I didn't see that.
I put it up. It was up on Facebook and around, all right. Yeah. So I actually went over to the funeral yesterday.
Where was the funeral?
In Alvely, just a few miles outside Bridgnorth. So
Albany.
Yeah, wasn't the easiest place in the world to get to, but I got there. Yeah.
I wouldn't think so. No.
No, it's actually Bridgnorth was kind of, it wasn't too bad to get to, but from there out was an adventure and back. But Yeah, so myself and Mick are over again tomorrow to Bob Mullen. He's a Wolves fan for years. Over, he lives in Stourbridge, so his cremation is tomorrow afternoon. So myself and Mick are going over to that as well, you know. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah, just happened in the space. It was in the space of a few days they both passed away, but the funerals just happened to be like, we were over on Saturday, yesterday, and, you know, tomorrow, Wednesday, so it's just a way, like, there was no point really trying to stay over two nights, you know. I suppose.
That's a lot of travelling. Yeah. Back.
Yeah, yeah, but things have to be done, you know. So just on the day, the match, where did you go? You went to the restaurant, Des. Did you go anywhere else before the match?
No, because by the time you get in there, it's close enough to 1 o'clock and
yeah,
just a nice relaxed lunch and then straight down to the match.
Yeah.
And just on the basis of being cautious about COVID,
yeah,
I thought we decided anyway we wanted to meet up and have a few points together. So we stayed till everybody left the ground pretty well, and then we were thrown out. And because Nick had booked hotel off the M6 in an industrial park.
Yeah.
He said all the hotels in Wolverhampton were about £200 a night.
Yeah.
So he booked this place. So we decided just to have a couple of pints in Wolverhampton. So we went to, you know, the old Chubb factory.
Yeah.
Just near the station there. We went there because we could sit outdoors because all the ones in the town were packed.
Yeah.
And nobody is wearing a mask pretty well in Britain.
Yeah. We noticed that, yeah.
And he was just as cautious as me about it. So we went there for a couple of pints, and then we headed out to the hotel. And next to the hotel was a beef eater restaurant where we had dinner.
Oh, lovely, lovely. So, Johnny, what did you do before the match? Did you?
We're a bit less cautious than that now. We just went into Wolverhampton and just sat at the bar and watched the early kickoff, Chelsea and Leicester. And then just headed in. We stayed there to watch the full game. Not that it was a very good game, but that was about it. Now, to be honest with you,
yeah, I suppose getting on to the game itself. Then, Johnny, what were your thoughts on how we started and how the first half went?
I thought we actually started slow enough, to be honest with you. It's just kind of a classic 3 o'clock kickoff that it just kind of took its time to get in, but. I think after Raul kind of missed his chance of going through, we just absolutely dominated the game. That kind of Bowen had a bit of a chance there early for West Ham.
Yeah, the header.
But after that, like it was just one way traffic, and like I don't think other than that Bowen opportunity that West Ham had an opportunity, like we could have been 2-0 up in the first half.
Yeah,
Ronald obviously missed his chance, and then Sice missed a corner. But just midfield was so dominant in the first half. I thought they just played. Like, that was the one area where I was particularly worried before the game. I thought they manhandled us in midfield, but the two boys, to Rice and Sujek, just got handed a bit of a football lesson, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I think when Moutinho gets a shot in the game, you know we're doing well in midfield.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Des, what was your impression of the early stages and as the first half wore on?
Yeah, just like Jonathan there, Nick and I were kind of shocked at how slow the game started. I mean, it was really, really cat and mouse, just tip-tapping across the middle of the field and going backwards more than they ever went forwards from both sides. And in that time, I thought West Ham, just like Jonathan, I thought that they were going to hammer us in midfield when I saw it was Neves and Moutinho on their own there. But their midfield was outplayed incredibly. I don't think I've ever seen Neves play that well in a match. I mean, he played very well in the first season or two. I thought he's been drifting for a while now.
Yeah.
And I thought that he absolutely dominated the midfield with some beautiful passing, and Moutinho buzzed around filling in all the gaps.
As he does.
I thought it was the best performance I've seen from them together for about 2 years. I'd say 2 or 3 years. Yeah, I thought too that West Ham really, that header was pretty close now in the, was it Bowen, from Bowen? Yeah. But after that, not until the last 10 minutes did I feel worried. In the last 10 minutes I did, because Wolves just sat back. They just kept going backwards.
As we do, yeah.
As they always do when they're a goal up with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah, I was surprised the way the game started, because I thought West Ham would be on a high after beating Liverpool last week, and that, you know, they would say, right, we'll start on the front foot and we'll go for the juggler. Now, they did, they probably had the majority of the possession in the first 10, 15 minutes, but, like, once we grew into the game, that seemed to be it. Like, the ball, I was looking at highlights again there yesterday, and, the ball from Neves for Raul's chance, you know, I mean, the way he hit it, like, he just curled right around the fullback, onto the foot of Raul, and it was kind of uncharacteristic of Raul, the attempted finish, because he would have chipped it. He actually chipped it to the left rather than over the keeper. So I think maybe he just lost his bearings or something. I don't know. But Tony, what were your impressions of the first half?
I just caught the end of the conversations there. I thought it was slow to start with, and I think West Ham were on the front foot for probably 15, 20 minutes, maybe not quite 20 minutes. I think we grew into the game. I thought that Suchek and Declan Rice would take over the midfield, but, you know, other than the one chance, the Bowen header, that they didn't. And I think I'd agree that Moutinho and Neves both had exceptional games.
Yeah.
The ball through to Raul was great. I watched the highlight. I watched the game again on Sky, the first half anyway. That's as much as it got through. And he bent his run brilliantly. And I actually thought in the ground that he tried to square it. But he clearly was an attempt. He tried to do what I think he did against Everton. And it didn't work.
The angle wasn't quite right for it.
Yeah, but when I was in the ground, because I was in the North Bank, I thought he tried to square it across.
Yeah.
Because the
only player that was nearby was Wang, and he was kind of just inside the area, so it didn't end up going anywhere near him. So I suppose after such a positive kind of last half hour, the first half, going into the second half then, Johnny, what did you think of the way the second half developed?
I kind of thought the crowd kind of thought that West Ham are going to kind of have a purple patch, but, like, the only real purple patch West Ham had was because we kind of sat back type of thing. Like, I think if we kept playing football, we would have dominated that last 15 minutes, but it's just not really the Wolves' way. We go 1-0 up and we ask for trouble type thing. The goal was just... The part about the goal I loved was Neves using his left foot, and it just took out two players. It was just beautiful. The left foot pass to Semedo, and then Pedence with another assist. Raul was kind of fitting after the documentary was released earlier in the day that he scored. And look, it could have been two. Like, Pedence had two great chances. Adama, God knows where that shot would have went if it didn't get blocked. it was a complete performance.
Yeah. Des, what'd you make of it?
Yeah, I was pretty thrilled, actually, with the football that was played. There was a lot of lovely interpassing at times.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until the last 10, 12 minutes that Rice finally kind of asserted himself in the middle and because of us going back. Thought the goal was lovely, nicely struck, but Podence has to get a lot of the credit for just picking him out. Raul dropping back and the ball coming straight to him.
Yeah.
One of my complaints about Lage has been that he's very slow to try to change a game and use subs.
Yeah.
And You can argue in that game that he didn't need to use subs, but I was almost pleading with him to bring on Adama because that would push West Ham back a bit because of the fear of his pace. Because you know they had a good 5 or 10 minutes giving us hell, really pushing us further deeper and deeper before he brought Adama on. I thought he'd never get him on.
And he's
slow to use subs.
I think most people have been saying that the last few weeks when we've been talking about games afterwards, that he seems to wait, seems to kind of almost sometimes wait until it's nearly too late before he decides he needs to make a change. But I thought overall myself that the game, it was, I think I might have said it afterwards to let that, it was probably our best performance of the season, bearing in mind that we actually won the game at the end of it. Because we did play great.
Yes.
First games of the season, we were brilliant, but we didn't get results. But, you know, we had Everton, where we had a great first half, similar to Saturday, probably a bit better than Saturday. But the second half, we just collapsed, sat back. So, but Tony, the second half, you enjoyed it?
Yeah. I think we just pushed on at the start of the second half from the performance in the first half. As the lad says, the build-up to the goal was great, but then cross into the edge of the box, and Jimenez took it very well. And then, as you say, the Wolves' way, we just kind of sat back. I think at that stage, everybody could see that he needed to freshen up a bit. I thought he should have brought in Dundonker a bit earlier, just to put a bit more reinforcement in the middle of the park.
Yeah,
where the Rice was starting to knock the ball around, and again Adama would have pushed them back. They would have sat 2 or 3 back to combat Adama. And they were scared of him when he got the ball. He made a couple of good runs. One was a very good run. And that shot, as you say, that, I don't know where that was going, but it was a good block.
But it was, I thought it was a pity, actually, because he had, but there was a player on the right-hand side who would have been,
Raul,
I think he'd actually pulled out to the right to make the option. I'd say he was probably very frustrated that he didn't get the ball, but that's kind of, you know, it seems to be the downside of Traore is he makes a great run, goes past players, and then, you know, he doesn't look for the pass at the end of it, you know. On performances, I thought Podence was absolutely fantastic for the whole game. Anyone agree with that?
Yeah, 100%.
I thought the first 15 minutes, Tony, he was a bit off the pace. He gave the ball away a couple of times. I remember one situation after about 15, 20 minutes, he got out-muscled, you know. You can understand that. Declan Rice got the ball off him quite easy on the left side. But after that, he was great till he got subbed.
I just thought he was very good at treading through little through balls and little passes that, you know, that thought out passes. You know, we were looking for gaps and he'd put the ball in, and as you say, like the cross for the goal. But I mean, the chance he had himself where he almost chipped Fabianski, he just got a touch to it, like, you know. So he definitely gave us something different, probably completely different from Adama. And I think probably both of them, you know, would have their place at particular times in the game. Do any of you see that Podence is probably Lage's kind of alternative long term for Adama, that you have more of a team player than the individual? Is that the way Lage is heading?
I think he will prefer him to Trincão just because he's just a bit stronger on the ball, I think. He's kind of adapted to the English game more so than Trincão at the moment. I don't think really Adama has... I love Adama. He's one of the most unique players, but I don't think he has a future under Laga. And just the way he plays, we're so much more unbalanced when Adama plays. It's like, give the ball to Adama, he'll run and he'll cross and we might score. Whereas like the goal, for example, on Saturday, that would have never happened if Adama was playing. The little intricate pass, and like Adama would have tried to pass the ball and it would have went out of play, you know, that sort of way. I think Podence's plays so well. Like the League Cup game against Tottenham when he played, I thought he was superb.
Yeah.
Every time he's played for me this season, I think he's been fantastic.
Yeah, and I suppose it getting the start in the game as well, kind of, you know, it gives him that bit of confidence probably. I know it took him a while to get into it, but that's understandable because he hasn't played from the start. But yeah, he certainly gave, and he lasted longer in the game than I thought he would, you know?
it changed. He had a big influence on the change in the Villa game. He wasn't able to do an awful lot against Palace when he came on, I think he's back to. I think last season with the injuries he had, he was never really fully fit, and any time he got a chance, he didn't really make the most of it because of that reason. So
Like you say, in the Villa game, he gave a little bit of difference where he was making little runs. He was getting, Neves was picking him out with a couple of passes. So he definitely changed the game against Villa. And I thought I was very impressed with him now on Saturday. I just wondered with free kicks and that, I would notice the one that Kilman probably should have scored from. That was normally a Moutinho free kick, but whether Ait Nouri is encouraged to take over or he just decided he would, because I actually looked at it in replay. I didn't notice it that well at the game, but that he ran over it and then spun around again. It looked like Moutinho was going to hit it, but spun around and turned back and put the ball in. And it was a great ball. I wonder, are they looking at different free kick routines?
I think Ait Nouri was on a few corners this weekend as well. His deliveries were good, like that. Certainly better than Giles, in my opinion. He's such a talent. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and with Ait Nouri playing as well as he is, I think early on the season when he started getting runs, he seemed to be cramping up. He just didn't seem to have 90 minutes full match fitness in him. But as the games have gone on, I mean, he was very comfortable there on Saturday at the end, and I think with the injuries probably that Marcel has suffered in the last year, it's great to actually have a full back there who, like Semedo on the other side, who seem to be injury free for most of the time anyway.
It'll be interesting to see as well when, I know Johnny's back on the grass kicking football, like when he comes back in, Nouri's kind of undroppable at the moment, he's playing so well.
Yeah, well, I think probably against the footballing teams, I suppose it with Everton and West Ham at the weekend, I mean, against Palace, because we were saying Podence never got a chance when he came on, probably too late coming on, but certainly Bruno's tactics seem to work very well against the football playing teams that come to play football. Des, what's your overall thoughts on Bruno so far this season?
You'd hesitate to pin too many colours to a mast with a football manager these days, because most of them seem to have very short lives. Other than, as I said, my irritation with him that I don't think he takes advantage of his bench enough, and he doesn't take players off who are genuinely looking tired. I agree with you that Ndonka, I thought, would go in to shore up midfield a bit earlier because Moutinho was looking a bit tired. I thought it was right to take Podence off, by the way. I think Podence he's got a certain length in a match that he will do lots of nice things. And then he has these periods where he drifts out of games for a long time. I mean, like Tony there, I thought the first 20 minutes he gave the ball away three times that I counted.
Yeah.
When he was just trying to be a bit too clever, and it was bloody irritating. But, he then proved me wrong for the next hour. But I think he had, it was time to take him off with 20 minutes, 25 minutes to go. Podence, is he going to be used instead of Adama? Well, if you listen to Match of the Day 2 to Conor Cody on it, certainly the signal you'd have got is that Bruno is much more interested in playing with a tight front three, playing little balls between the lines and finding the gap, all this kind of stuff, rather than playing Adama or anybody out wide. That's certainly the Adama's season then.
Yeah.
Adama's.
It'll be interesting, all right, see how that develops. I suppose we're on such a good kind of run at the moment that I think they said, what are you, 5 wins and 7, I think, is what I heard one of the stats quoting there the weekend. But looking ahead then, I in my own mind, I was looking at West Ham, Norwich and Burnley, the three games, particularly with the tough games coming up in December, that I'd be happy with 4 points from those three games. Well, we have three after Saturday. So what are your thoughts on Norwich and Burnley up next and how we'll do in those games? Des?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, both, I mean, Norwich had a good result against Southampton.
Mm.
Burnley, was that 3-3?
Triola Palace, yeah.
So they're both, and they're the sort of teams that generally we don't do well against.
Yeah.
As you said, we tend to play well against footballing sides. So I'd say we'll beat Norwich and struggle against Burnley. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
My next match is the Liverpool match.
Yeah.
Promises to be interesting.
It does, yeah. It'd be certainly nice to head
we're
into.
We're playing them for a Champions League place.
Yeah, yeah. Particularly if we do well in the next two games, Johnny. What are your thoughts on the next two games coming up?
Yeah. Norwich are kind of on a bit of a bounce after winning Dean Smith's the new manager. But yeah, like I don't see any reason why we can't go there and get another 3 points. You know, with the way we're playing, defense looks absolutely brilliant at the moment. Burnley, they always just seem to relish playing against us. Chris Wood, Corneille scored a few goals for them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind, and I probably will, that Bolly will be playing for that because probably rotate. But yeah, like you get 6 points out of them, which you don't see why you won't, and all of a sudden you're flying, you know.
Yeah. Hopefully. When we go into tough matches with Liverpool, Man City, and that. Tony, what are your thoughts on the two games?
Yeah, I think like Dan says, I think Norwich will suit us better. We should be able to outplay them. Burnley, yeah, God, I hate watching Burnley play. They're effective, but I wouldn't like to be paying to watch them every week. We never do well in any games I've been to when we played Burnley. I think we got a lucky 1-1 draw a few years ago when I was actually at the station, trying to get back for a flight when we got a goal in injury time.
The penalty,
I think we got well beaten maybe last season when we played them. Chris Wood, you know. They just bully us. I just think we need to be a bit stronger. I mean, that goal that Corneille got, the third goal, was a fabulous goal. I think he's on fire, that fella. I think he scored like 4 or 5 games in the trot now for them. So,
yeah,
I think I'd take 4 points from the two games, but Burnley will be more difficult, even though Norwich are on the up with 2 wins on the trot. So,
I think we'll all be happy heading into the Liverpool game unbeaten. So, in the next two, so. Hopefully, that's what we'll be looking at. And I think we have to be, somebody up there must be looking at us and saying, we have to get a result against Liverpool. They have to give us something, you know. So knowing us, we could lose to Burnley and then beat Liverpool. But anyway, I think we might all settle for that.
Just out of interest, was anybody surprised? I was just wondering, just before you go, was anybody surprised, like I was, that he didn't bring Bolly back for the... for the West Ham game, because West Ham's, their figures are, they score from corners and set pieces, corners and frees. So the need for a big guy, somebody who's good in the air, seemed to me to point to Bolly playing instead of Saïss.
Yeah,
he's not as strong in
there. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the story is really with Bolly, because he hasn't, I don't think he's played. He played in the Spurs League Cup game, I think. I think that was the last game he's played in. And I think, like, Bruno seems to be the type of manager that likes a settled side and doesn't like making changes in the second half and substitutions. He doesn't seem to like making changes in the overall lineup to start. So, no, I think he seems to. And I mean, it's getting to the stage now, I think, where in a couple of 2 or 3 weeks' time, Bolly will be heading off to the African nations anyway. So maybe Bruno, I don't know what. Maybe Johnny or Tony think of it, but you know, maybe Bolly isn't in his plans, you know.
Yeah, it's a strange one. I think Saïss has been playing particularly well. Got caught out there a couple of times. Kilman's been playing well, other than a couple of little errors against Brentford. So
yeah,
you know, I thought maybe he might swap Bolly in for him at that stage, but I think he's obviously going for the settled team. You know, apart from a couple of little chances on Saturday, we held them fairly well. So
yeah.
We did, yeah. So maybe he knows something we don't.
it's something happens in training, I think. Yeah, so lads, listen, it's been great talking to you. Des, Johnny, Tony, thanks a million. And
see you, Tony. Okay, we'll
see you. See you the next game. Good night. See you, guys.
Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.